This is the life that I was born into. Ooh, this is the truth. So what you gonna do? Ooh, true.
Welcome to Mixtape. This is where talent and story collide to speak on a variety of topics surrounding sex. Nothing is left unturned as God's grand design as a sex maker is revealed. I'm Jason Sochnick, Executive Director for Project 619. On this tape, I'm joined by Nathaniel Arroyo, a spoken word poet from Chicago, Illinois. Sometimes we can forget that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made, but that is exactly what Scripture proclaims. In the midst of a culture that proclaims do whatever with whomever, whenever we want, it's easy to get lost in a tidal wave of sexual proclamations that do nothing but leave you wanting more. Nathaniel Arroyo uses his gift of poetry to explore this further. Here's Nathaniel.
Wasn't I enough? She spoke as if she partook in the Eucharist for the very first time, as if there was blood in her mouth. And I didn't know what to say to her, because it's more than just failed relationships and naked bodies. It's more than just one-night stands or long-term failed commitments. He said, it's as if I'm isolated and alone. And he said it as if he partook in the Eucharist for the very first time, as if there was flesh in his mouth. And I didn't know what to say, because it's more than just self-gratification. It's more than just roadblocked escape routes and temporary self-esteem boosters. Did you know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? You were made in the image of a God who is love, and the debris and destruction that you found yourself swimming in is everything short of the freedom that was designed for your flourishing. One of the very first things that God told humanity was to be fruitful and multiply, a blessing in which we've been invited to partake, and in a similar way in which God experiences intimacy and union within himself, we too get to experience intimacy and union with one another by having sex. And doesn't it feel good? And doesn't it feel right? But then why at other times it feels oh so wrong? And what started off as awkward with a little bit of laughter turned into fear and somberness. And when the mud no longer feels good in between your toes and you look in the mirror not knowing how to wash the stains off of your face, tell me, where is your hope? And I would be a fool not to admit that I too have showered in the mud, finger painting with filth and destruction. And it wasn't until I tried washing myself clean did I even know that I was corrupted. And it wasn't until a hope set before me did I see the beauty of humanity's purpose. And it was not a hope precedented on my behavior or moral astuteness. And it wasn't temporal or a quick fix solution, but a radical life-changing truth that proved itself to be useful. I ask again, did you know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? You were made in the image of a God who is love. The human desire is to love and be loved in return, and we seek it anywhere we can find it, settling for a counterfeit to satisfy our eternal longings. But in Christ, we receive love because we receive him, and there is no condemnation in Christ. In him, sins are forgiven. Nonetheless, our actions have real life consequences, but discipline takes practice, and God ain't done writing your story. Let's not play in the mud any longer, my dear friend. It's time to clean up. Because of Jesus, you deserve so much more than a cheap imitation. His intimacy with you is your invitation into eternal glory. His promise of love is a seal set upon your heart. His commitment existed before the foundations of the earth, and it extends forever. You are his delight. His grace is sufficient, and love keeps no record of wrong. I'm going to say that one more time. You are his delight. His grace is sufficient. Love keeps no record of wrong. Did you know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? You were made in the image of a God who is love.
You've been written into a wonderful story. God's story is one that includes creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. However, our conversation surrounding sex usually only focuses on the second and third parts of the story, fall and redemption. If we only engage these two parts, we see ourselves and others first and foremost as sinners. The central focus is placed on their state of sinfulness as well as their acts of sin. Our job then becomes about cleaning individuals up. For example, getting them to repent from their sinful ways so they will behave correctly. But the gospel of Jesus Christ then only becomes about rules and regulations. It might also cause us to only see sex as sinful and not a gift to be celebrated with God's grand design as a sex maker. But if we engage in the whole story, we see people and ourselves as first and foremost created in the image of God. That means all people have innate godlike beauty and dignity because they all, in their own unique way, reenact something of their Creator. Putting the image of God before anything else places greater truths about who we are and who we're created to be. Thus, we see sex placed within this beautiful sphere of life that is to be protected within the place that it is intended, marriage. One more food for thought. We start with creation because this is where sex first enters the picture. We were sexual before we were sinful. So what we do with it, sex, matters. For too long, the model given to us was built more on rules and regulations rather than walking with integrity. When our goal only becomes one of waiting and holding on to our virginity, we can easily choose not to include Jesus, which means we do it on our own strength. The model in Scripture places Jesus at the center as we revolve our life around Him. This is what makes living with sexual integrity, waiting, possible. It is about making the one person that can make you whole, Jesus Christ, and making life happen as we walk in obedience to Him. Sometimes hearing a poem or poetry, much like Nathaniel shared a moment ago, can leave us asking questions. That's why I wanted to take a moment and ask him directly what his thoughts were on this poem. Where was his mind as he wrote it? And what are his thoughts on sexual integrity?
It was really exciting. It's obviously about sex. And I think when we say that word out loud or think about it, there's a mix of emotions, right? So there's this level of like cutesy, kind of fun, like little giggles in the back. But then there's also this kind of reluctancy to kind of lean into this uncomfortable, kind of scary feeling. So when writing a poem like this, I really want to be careful and leaning into those emotions and not necessarily making one more superior than the other. So it's not going to be all fun and games because it's actually a very serious thing. And it's not going to be daunting and intimidating because it's actually a fun thing at the same time.
What a great word. Well, let me ask this. You once described the work of writing your poetry as exegeting. You're wanting to exegete from Scripture, much like you would with a sermon. Can you describe that a little bit further?
Absolutely. I think there is a real power in poetry. In the medium of poetry, you can say something very influential, and that influential statement or metaphor could be tied to a lie or truth. Now, if it's tied to a lie, you've just given power to a lie, and you've expressed this really poetic truth, but it's not really connected to anything that's going to be life-giving. But if you connect it to Scripture, which I believe to be true, what's actually happening is Scripture is empowering the poem and actually breathing life into that poem, and I'm just the medium of exegeting, hey, here's what God says, here's kind of the everyday human experience, let's try to combine that in a really creative platform such as poetry.
That's incredible. It's a reminder too for us to remember how we exegete things beyond poetry and just sermon writing. We can do that throughout all of life. Incredible. Let me ask this. We're dedicating mixtape to the conversation around sex and sexual integrity specifically. Let me ask you, what does sexual integrity mean to you?
Sexual integrity is me oftentimes asking the question, what's my posture of worship with my sexuality towards God? How am I worshiping God with my sexuality in any given context, right? So whether I'm single, whether I'm in a dating relationship, whether I'm in a covenant relationship in marriage, how am I disciplined in my mind, in my heart, with my body to worship God in those moments? And how am I being appropriate in those moments?
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing your gift here on Mixtape.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mixtape is brought to you by Project 619. Do you have a story you want to share? Check us out on the interweb and help illuminate true life and true relationship by getting involved. Go to www.project619.org/illuminate. That's www.projectsix19.org/illuminate. Thanks for listening. Coming up on the next tape.
Sometimes it's difficult to define the difference between love and infatuation, especially at the beginning of a relationship or the start of a crush. Infatuation, in my opinion, is being overwhelmed by the idea of someone. It's an emotional high where you become more obsessed with how you feel about a person than who that person actually is or how they actually treat you.